the King
Abrams show. I'm a little bit early or right on time. Usually when you point at me to start the monologue, when we watch the show, it's like a split second late. So I tried to chime in. I tried to anticipate. Put your finger up like this. I tried to anticipate when you're going to point at
do
me.
Do that. It's not easy to do that.
No. use my psychic powers.
I'm just making sure I'm looking into the right camera angle. I don't think. Okay, hold on. Let me get.
Oh, which one do you have? Oh, you have your iPad. There we go.
There we go.
How
are you doing?
I'm doing fabulously.
Your hair looks fabulous.
Doesn't it though?
It does.
It was very easy look to pull off.
You look from this angle, even in live, but straight on, you look like what's her name, Kerry Washington.
Stop it. You know, I get
Getting
that.
Kerry Washington vibes.
Yeah, it's because I have this kind of this no at all the teeth. It's all the teeth that I have.
Well, you're lucky. I don't have model teeth like you do. My wife, Liz, you know, she has like Perfect teeth. My dad always says, make a mold of your teeth, Liz, because you could, you know, people could model them. Teeth after years. I mean, I'm
always jealous of people who have, not jealous, but have great teeth. You know, but you have great teeth.
Those are amazing real teeth, right? Those are my real teeth. And apparently my brother, and it's a genetic thing, my brother and my father both have almost perfect teeth.
Yeah.
And my brother and I, who's one of these people with perfect teeth, I don't know that either of us went to the dentist. Now that my mom's passed away, I can tell all her.
Okay, what about orthodontist?
We didn't go anywhere until I was like 20. When I moved out, I was like 23.
Okay.
And I had some wisdom tooth coming in, and they were painful, and I had no choice, and I had to go to the dentist. And the first question they ask you is, when's the last time you've been to the dentist?
Okay.
And I literally never been to the dentist.
Okay. I don't know that. I mean, you should probably.
But I had no cavities. I had no problems. I've never had a problem with my teeth at all.
I think sometimes I don't generally have a lot of cavities when I go,
but I also go to the dentist probably.
For a cleaning now.
Yeah.
Well, now that I know better.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, the first time I had to go to the dentist, I was 23 years old. I had these two wisdom teeth, and I was so terrified. I'm laying back in the chair and all these sounds, everything was unfamiliar. It was like I was a 7-year-old. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Going into a strange place. And this dentist, who all I knew about dentists were that maybe they were a little crazy, kind of like postmen.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
And they
like they go nuts and like, you know, shoot up a bunch of people.
Or
I don't know where I got that from.
In the neighborhood.
So there he is, and he's coming down into my face and going into my mouth, and this drill, and I was just like terrified, and I was trying to hold still, but I literally had tears falling out of my eyes.
Ooh.
He goes, "What are you crying for?" And I went, "Holy shit,
God,
this is
dentist.
A horror movie."
Your dentist sounds awful.
He was horrible, and that was my first experience. And so then I went again a few years later and got my teeth cleaned, and
hopefully a little better experience.
Well, I did have a better experience. It was a female this time, and she wasn't a dentist. She was a dental assistant, I
guess.
That's
who you want to go to.
Yeah.
Dental assistants are generally a lot more gentle than...
Yeah.
I had a dentist growing up who was famous for being really rough, and so his dental assistant would be booked up for a year, and they're like, oh, but Dr. So-and-so is available today. Like,
yeah. Yeah, it's not a fun experience, but
anything with teeth, it's like when they drill in there, like
you okay? I'm like, dude,
the sound hits your ears. Yeah, you never get used to that, huh?
No, you never get used to it.
But yeah, so all of us, knock on wood, and our family have pretty good teeth.
Good teeth. You got them GTs, them good teeth.
Yeah.
Well, you're lucky. And we were talking about beforehand. Obviously your hair looks beautiful, but we were talking about,
how will they know?
How will they know?
For men and women, we were talking about men starting to wear girdles or myrtles.
Yeah.
Male girdles where they're pulling it up above their gut to hide their fat ass gut.
Why not
work out?
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of, for me personally, plastic surgery. The bee sting lips, fake ass. I'm not hating on these women or men. Whatever you need to make your life feel fulfilling and whatever makes you happy, that's what you should do.
Yeah.
If it makes you happy to look like a plastic surgeon,
then so be it.
So be it.
No, agreed. However, However, you know, the funny thing is we were talking, and so I'm wearing a wig.
Okay.
This is a wig I had.
But it looks amazing. I mean, thank you. Look, I mean, it really, I mean, it's I didn't know.
You didn't know. Well,
I think I did know because you told me.
I told you, but I had a different wig on earlier.
Oh, you did?
That was a different wig.
Oh.
Right. So I came home and changed my wig, put on some makeup, and
so you're wigging out.
Pretty much. Yeah, and you know, we were discussing before the podcast, you know, so if I were to go see my guy.
Your guy.
I would fix my hair a different way. I wouldn't show up with a wig on.
Why?
Well, for me personally, and I don't know if I can speak for anyone other than me. Man,
that's all we can do.
I feel like it's fake. It's not my hair.
Okay.
You can't pull on this. If I'm having sex with someone, he can't pull on this.
What happens?
I'm going to say, ah. If he starts to pull, because it's going to come slam off.
So it's not attached at all.
No, I don't. Oh, okay. I don't do all that extra
stuff. And what do you have under that?
It's just my hair.
Your hair is in a cap.
It's okay. Like in a, no, it's just in a French braid.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean honestly, the things women have to do.
Right. And it's so silly. Now, I would wear this out in the marketplace to take care of my errands or podcast. But if I'm going to be in a physical, you know, if I'm going to go work out or have sex or whatever, I'm going to wear something different. And the reason I wouldn't want to wear a wig during sex is because I wouldn't want to subject my partner to those limitations.
Those limitations, right. If he's like really want to pull the hair and you're like,
yeah, I mean, if he gets that inclination, I want him to, I'm trying to fix the bangs.
You're trying to fix the bangs. Yeah.
If he gets that inclination, I don't want him to, you know,
to pull
you have to be careful.
But what if it's kind of just like a reveal and you have your hair underneath ready to go? Is that possible?
I don't know if that's possible.
Like you have a French braid, whatever you have, but it looks good. And
it does not look good.
Shoot. And you're like, let's fucking get it.
No, no, no. It goes from Kerry Washington to Aunt Jemima.
Aunt Jemima. At least I said
real fast.
Oh my god, so sexually, it's like, yeah.
Nah,
you get Carrie back?
Where'd she go?
Yeah. They don't even call it Aunt Jemima anymore.
It's just called fucking syrup.
They removed Aunt Jemima.
Oh, they took it away?
Uncle Ben, he's gone.
He's still there? Oh, Uncle Ben, Aunt Jemima, and all of them are gone?
They booted all the fucking old black folks off of General Mills' boxes.
It was a little...
It was, I mean, it was the old mammy
off, you know.
And Uncle Ben, I mean...
I don't know what white people were joking about when they brought home Aunt Jemima.
What do you mean?
But black people, like, I don't know, like, when you see that, you know, big fat woman with, you know...
Do you think white people thought nothing of it?
Nothing at all?
No, white people...
Well, black people were making hella jokes and just having a good old time talking about Aunt Jemima. We were doing Aunt Jemima dances and everything. Pouring the syrup and Aunt Jemima, you know, this is...
Slave, mammy, stereotype depiction of, like, a... Aunt Jemima.
Aunt Jemima? I mean, come on.
I think the reason so many white people didn't have a problem with it is because... A lot of affluent white people grew up with Aunt Jemima in their kitchen raising them.
Right, I mean, right, that's
many,
right.
There's so many kids in the Midwest and the South that were raised by black women. Right. You know, out here in Los Angeles, you know, our nannies are of all descents because there's so many people. But if you're in somewhere Midwest, South,
I mean, yeah, if you're, you know, rural sort of white family that's well to do is looking for a nanny. If you're fat and black, then you have a leg up over the competition.
God, it's really, it's terrible.
Unfortunately.
And it's not, I don't want to say it's not terrible. I guess it is what it is. It's probably,
there's a reason.
It's just a weird thing though, that so much racism can still live. And then the irony of you were almost raised by
right. Oh, we would breastfeed.
Yeah.
Master's children.
Exactly.
That's crazy.
Right.
Imagine how comfortable you must feel suckling from a black woman's breast as a kid and then growing up and feeling comfortable, but then again uncomfortable because of what you've been taught about.
Exactly.
The stereotype.
Yes. It's very
confusing, I imagine.
It's the whole history of it at all is very confusing.
Well, I'm just
we took a turn for the
Well, here's this here's how we tie it in with this wig.
Okay, bring it back.
This is my negotiating wig. This is what I wear when I'm negotiating with white people.
Yes,
So
that is your got invited to a high profile white wedding in Dubai.
My assimilation wig.
Assimilation wig.
That's really funny.
It is. I mean, that's what's so sad.
It is.
That is the assimilation wig. That is going to get your bank loan wig.
Yeah. All of the above.
I'm an attorney.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, it's unfortunate that you have to sort of navigate that way.
Yeah.
Well, but, I made an interesting discovery. Which, let me pull this up real quick.
Are you familiar with the artist Billie Eilish?
Yes, he is like redhead.
No, it's a female.
Oh.
No. Billie Eilish. Now, let me show you what she has is
videos of her generally live in concert. And she just always, she's so dressed down.
Is she a black woman or a white woman?
No, she's a white woman.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, Billie Eilish.
Okay, she's kind of punk rock.
She's kind of punk rock, but this isn't really doing it the justice I'm looking for.
But like, she generally, this is how she dresses, and like biker pants and a big blue shirt.
But I guess my point is that
I was getting off, but that a black female artist could not come out that relaxed, just with her hair all about, wearing a big shirt. Bike, tight.
Yeah, are you kidding me? Let me go to work. When I used to work, for NBC Universal and Technicolor, and most of my coworkers were white.
Sure.
I think I was the only black person working on the floor, on my floor.
Right.
And
you filled the quota.
Yeah. Well, I would straighten my hair like this wig, my own hair, and then you know, if I decided to wash my hair and let it go back curly and natural and show up for work natural curly, all the white people in the office. Look at your hair! And like all fucking day already.
So, was it positive or?
It was like they were trying to be positive, but it was annoying because they were so shocked at what my hair could do, I guess.
Or was it what your hair could do, or was it the look of really what they were saying? Of this looks like a more relaxed look.
It's so curly.
Right, or compared to this look that you have, the assimilation wig, is something they're more used to seeing on themselves. So when they see you with more of your natural hair, it sticks out more, potentially.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think that's
the mind of a white woman.
The mind of a white woman. Some white people just are uncomfortable by your natural hair.
I don't know if it's uncomfortable. Look. Here's a secret about white people.
Okay.
All white people love black people, but they just love them on the surface. They love the entertainment.
Right.
They love the sports.
Right.
They love the swag. They love everything black people create for the world. They soak it all up, except being black or the black experience.
Right. So maybe when they look at the hair, they can't understand how it.
They want your curves. They want your slam dunk. They want your rap abilities. They want your dance abilities. Everything, if you look at it, goes back to the Elvis, Eminem, Justin Bieber. If we can package it in somebody white, we're going to make more money. And
yeah, that unfortunately is our predicament. And that's because. If you look back at the history, not to get too far off on a tangent.
All right, yeah, I forgot. I had a little point there and I kind of got off.
That's okay. So, but if you look back in history, black people, I mean, we were essentially free entertainment from the time we got here.
Sure.
Okay. And I mean, even when white people started their form of minstrel shows and vaudeville, do you remember blackface? I mean, yeah, clearly the black experience.
Al Jolson was a huge blackface white performer who was one of the most famous comedians
in the world. Vaudeville.
Doing blackface.
Right. You know,
his song was Mammy.
Right.
You know?
Mammy.
Mammy.
Yeah. How we move, how we sing, how we move, how we laugh. It was always an interest.
Blackface, I think that was my point, is a good example. That's how much white people love black people.
Exactly.
But if we don't need you there, and we can do blackface, we're fine with that. You know, and it's white people have never attached themselves to the white, the black struggle here in America or the history of the racism. And they love black people, but they just actually don't love black people. They're, you know, it's just.
I got to tell you, I, you know, I can talk about.
So far apart.
Yeah. Yeah. There's always sort of disconnections and certain, you know, unmistakable connections. But I got to tell you, it feels very strange talking about racial issues with my negotiating wig on. This is my assimilation wig. Yeah. It's very rare that I wear a wig.
Right.
Well, so back to wigs, though. Yeah. What if a guy was saying, guy has a spandex, but he also has a little
dick pad, you know, or a little wad spreader that makes his junk.
It is a turnoff.
So you're dancing, and it's like a little soft cucumber type thing in his pants. You're at the club, you're grinding, you guys are dancing and getting hot. Might want to go back to his hotel. He's in town from out of town. He's got a really nice hotel.
Story.
On the Sunset Strip, all you got to do is walk across the street to his hotel. You get across the street to his hotel, get hot and heavy, you pull his pants down. And
he's been faking the funk.
And yeah,
he's got like a sock roll up in there.
It's a pair of underwear with this.
He is so fired.
And he has a micro penis.
Get the entire fuck out of my life.
Right.
You know, and it's a turn-off.
That's how I feel with some of these women with the makeup.
I know.
There are so many beautiful women that I think go for this, and I'll call it the Kim Kardashian look.
I know.
Like,
it's unfortunate.
And like, Kim Kardashian to me is so overdone, there's nothing attractive about her.
Because there's something beautiful about a woman using her natural beauty and accenting it a little.
Right.
But this over-accentuation of fakeness, like the movie I'm gonna get you, sucker. And the scene,
we're just gonna be yourself.
So like really, and starts taking her leg off, takes her eyelashes, her wig off,
her booty, everything's
her booty, everything. And it was so ahead of its time.
Well, I think, and you know, we were talking a little before the podcast. I feel like if, like, okay, so you know, everyone, it's not a secret that I had my breasts done.
No, it's not a secret.
And I'm very happy with the job my doctor
right.
did.
And I think that's good.
Unless I told a guy, he wouldn't know that my breasts were fake.
Yeah.
And it's not something I necessarily broadcast, but I'm not ashamed of it either.
You just did broadcast it.
I do, sometimes.
No, I mean, you broadcast it
right. Podcast. Yeah, yeah, for sure. But my point is, I think that I feel like when I get naked and jump into the shower,
sure,
like ready to wash my hair, I feel comfortable with how I look. I like the way my breasts look. Yeah. I don't have a huge ass, but it's not flabby or super flat.
Sure.
Like, you know, my hair is what it is. I do different things to it.
Yeah.
But I mean, I like the way my hair looks when it's natural and wet.
Of course.
But now when it dries.
That's another thing.
And your mama.
Hilarious. I mean, I think too.
I think that if you're going into the shower, like that kind of nakedness.
I want a pair of breasts.
If your stuff doesn't fall off, like I'm gonna get you sucker.
Sure.
Then I think that you are in a sort of safe range.
Agreed.
Right.
Well, look, I think breasts.
Like
also,
it's not offensive that you're not fake.
Right. No, and nobody's fake. It's just look. I mean, any surgery, it is what you want to do. You're still yourself.
Some women go. Some people go overboard.
So, some people go overboard. And it becomes an addiction. But like with fake breasts, I understand, like from a woman's perspective, it opens you up to bikinis. It opens you up to dresses.
Different acting roles.
Different acting roles. Different hotel rooms. No.
Maybe.
No, I'm joking. But and I think, like you said, it's more of a confidence. But the ass, I just think ladies, get into Pilates class, do your squats.
Do squat.
You can't. You know,
I can't squat my titties into
perfect.
Like my kids ruined my titties because I breastfed both of them.
Exactly.
The oldest one was the hungriest one. Oh, yeah, I mean, it was a problem.
I said no. They literally suck you dry. So you understand the breast, but an ass is something that you are able to make adjustments to on your own.
Right, you can do squats.
And when you have skinny legs and big fat ass, it's just like Kim Kardashian, it doesn't match. A fat ass is supported by strong, thick legs. Track booty is what I call it.
Muscle.
You know, and I was telling you before, my son,
I said to my wife the other day, "Ooh, mama, I love your juicy, fat booty." And I was like, "Where did you
and
hear
how
that from?"
How old is
six.
Six.
I was like, "Do you hear that on YouTube?"
Oh, it's a little one.
He's like, "No, daddy, you always smack mama on the butt and say, ooh, that's a good, juicy, fat booty." And I'm like, "Oh, God."
He told on your ass.
Yeah, he told on my ass. And I was like, whatever.
Well, but, hey, look, I was thinking about it. At least I'm showing my kids.
How to compliment a woman.
Oh, yeah. And like, being in a relationship, would you rather have me smack your mom across the face or on her ass?
One kids are like, I choose fat booty. Fat ding, ding.
We choose fat booty.
For 500?
Fat booty. And we were talking about my wife is a confident woman. And when I say fat booty, that is like perfect apple bottom.
Yeah.
Right? That is a nice round steak filet mignon, track booty, does her lunges.
And you just need, by the way, ladies, you just need that one angle where you can capture that apple bottom.
That's right.
Round. I'm happy because I know my angle. If I ever wanted to take a picture,
I know my angle. Somebody,
I know my angle because nobody has a fat booty with every angle. He's
true.
Like, maybe they do.
I mean, there are people who have fat booty.
No matter what they're doing.
Beautiful, perfect asses. I mean, let's not act like that doesn't exist. Okay, there are perfect, beautiful booties, but yeah, there's different types, there's different angles. We were talking about some people think the model of 5'10", totally skinny, coke and cigarettes body, but to me, that's not attractive to be so skinny. I like some meat on the bone to where if, like, say we're hanging on a cliff and I'm falling down, I can grab onto her ass
and hold on. Like, I'm good. But what are you gonna do with some model?
With no ass? You're gonna slide off the cliff.
I'm gonna slide off the cliff.
I don't even look
for
your Pilates booty.
Right. I'm gonna fucking fat Pilates booty, you know? some of this, you know? I can hang on for dear life. And I think that's, but it's just, you know. Like,
well, I'm gaining some weight. I've been eating a lot of
good
sushi.
For you.
Apparently, sushi's.
Sushi does that?
It's fattening with all the rice. And,
okay. Red rice and
the avocado and.
Yeah, I think women,
all the things.
It's, you know,
I don't know. Somebody told me it was fattening. I've been eating a lot of it, and I'm gaining weight.
I mean, we all worry about our weight. I mean, my son was saying I'm insecure about my body. I'm like, join the club. You know what I mean?
He's 12, and he has low body fat.
And I'm like, you're 12. You're prepubescent.
Yeah, he's going to stretch out. Yeah, no. As soon as his hormones hit, poor guy, he doesn't know that.
I've always been uncomfortable with my body. You know what I mean? Even though people would consider me somewhat skinny.
She should be like, I've always been comfortable with my body. Kids, suck it up.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. And that's the thing for my wife. She has one of these athletic bodies who,
you know, like
the comedian Akilah came to my house this last weekend. I was like,
Sam, that's your wife?
I know.
I thought you had some fat heifer.
Hilarious. Oh, my God. No, this is awesome.
There's no way.
She's beautiful.
She wasn't disrespecting Liz. She was disrespecting me.
No, I get it.
She's like, Sam, you're so
I thought you were.
I thought, Sam, how do you... I didn't think you could bring
pull
down
off somebody
anything more than a
hot as Liz.
Chicago 5, basically, is what she thought. Chicago 3.
Chicago 5 is like a 3 in L.A.?
Maybe a 2. Just some fat goth girl. No offense to fat goth girls. I love all of you. But I'm into an athletic woman.
Natural.
So when somebody, natural... and a beautiful girl, I have to be physically attracted. So it's funny for somebody to think, see me like, oh, Sam, I assumed your wife was just out of shape or something.
I feel like.
What does that say about me?
Well, it just means maybe a little Barney Rubble-ish, just a tad.
Okay, so now you just call me Barney Rubble. I'm not even fucking Fred Flintstone, okay? You call me the short square guy.
The blonde!
Oh, hey, y'all. Hey, Fred. Hey, Fred.
Yeah. How did you get such a hot piece of ass, Barney, you bitch?
And you know, I met my wife a long time ago,
so it's definitely not like she's into me for my money, because Lord knows it's not, you know. She could have done better, but she married a Jew, though. You know, she wanted to get on the wild side. She could have married some perfect little Catholic private school boy, and it would have been kind of boring. You know? She could have gone to church every Sunday with her whole family, but
I had an analogy that said you was going to say about fake bodies, and it just fake slipped my mind.
Me. Well, I just think eventually you have to be yourself. You have to get naked.
Yeah, eventually you have to show your real self. So I remember. And if you look so different in your real natural state than you do when you're made up,
that's haunting.
Then that's a little bit of betrayal. It's a little bit of deceit. It's deception.
I had a friend. He had a girlfriend way back in college, and you know, he made the joke. He's like, "I'm like, where is she?" He's like, "Oh, she's putting her face on."
Gross.
And it is. It's like, in a sense, she would even wake up before him to put makeup on, so he never saw
her real natural state. Oh my God, how can you live like that? That can't be comfortable.
It's not. I really honestly think maybe this is me.
It was funny. I was in a women's studies class back in college. I was the only guy in there. And I kind of got booed out of it for making this comment.
But I said, you should be able to be comfortable enough in a relationship where you can, like, walk in and your wife's taking a shit, or you're taking a shit and your wife walks in. I'm not saying you have to go in there and sniff it up and enjoy the shit.
Right, inhale. Just
inhale and
if it happens. Sure.
You should be comfortable enough in your most disgusting state
with your spouse.
That with your spouse.
Come on.
But I don't believe there's a lot of people in their relationship. A lot of people, anytime I said, and these women are like, oh,
you're funny about that kind of thing.
Like, Sam, I'm divorced. And I don't think the problem with my husband and I was that I didn't take a shit in front of him and all the women.
Unless.
I was like, okay, so I'm the only guy in here being like trying to learn this shit. So fuck you guys. And I
left the class. They kicked your ass out. Well, unless you're rich enough to have beautiful, you know, double bathrooms.
Double booty.
Because that's ideal.
But
that's what I was going to say.
There's a level of comfort, though. And it gets back to the fakeness.
Right. If one of the toilets is, you know, waiting for the plumber and then you guys have to do it, like, you're not going to be like, get out of here.
Right.
He's got to go downstairs and use the guest bath.
No, and if you're ugly, I'd rather know that than see that you're always just completely.
If you're ugly, I would rather know that your poop smell matches your face.
Yeah. Ugly face, ugly poop.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like I always feel I'm kind of a shallow person
in that where I really looks are very important to me. Now, of course, soul and heart are most important, but I really have to also have that physical connection.
Attraction.
And I think, look, I've been in a relationship for a long time, and that is part of the through line.
I don't know my wife, of course, you judge. You know, I don't have a six pack. Like, I think about sometimes I get insecure.
What would her body be the equivalent of on a man? Right. So Liz would probably I would be
a guy who's probably pretty well in shape as a
you know, she's definitely like, prettier than you.
Exactly.
Is that what you're getting at?
Yeah, pretty much. I outkicked my coverage.
But again, sometimes you wonder with the women.
But we don't care.
I try to keep myself in my mind as sexy as I can be. But
yeah, she finds you sexy.
Right.
But I mean, you should see the guy that broke my heart. Oh my God.
He was.
I mean, he's handsome to me.
Oh, he wasn't cute.
He was handsome to me. No, he's big, fat, tall guy. Okay.
She might not find that attractive.
Right.
Liz is more into like physically fit, like a lot of it.
Right. But I loved him. So he was, every part of his skin is attractive.
Of course.
Period.
Yeah.
So that's the beauty that you guys have. As men,
right,
and that's how we see you. However,
oh, we're so lucky,
right? The pressure on a woman, it is probably not a tremendous pressure, even in a love relationship. But it's, you know, that we don't want to let ourselves go,
right?
And that's kind of a rule that applies to women.
Of course, that's
socially enforced, you know, with women,
right? And men can let themselves go as long as you have
it's money. Okay.
You can always still get a woman as if you were 20 years old.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, I know so many guys my age, I'm 45, who are like, they're, you know, single and divorced, and they're just scouring for 25-year-olds. And most women don't generally go back and do that.
No, they're not like. I mean, there's a such thing as a cougar, and I tried it. I dipped my toe into that, and boy, did that stink. I mean, these guys' apartments. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah,
like, they're young. They're immature. Yeah. They don't take their trash out. They're fucking. They're broke. And blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, immature men are not as sexy. Women are much sexier, younger than men are. Because, first of all, Men look like little boys. Women can be 21 and still look like, wow, she looks like a woman. Like, she looks gorgeous. Right, look at that.
Right. But if a man can still be in great shape, but he still looks like a teenager. You know what I mean?
Yeah, give me somebody over 50. Like, I, ugh.
But there's cougars and cheetahs. Like I was saying, you know,
cougars. What's a cheetah?
A cheetah is like, say, my wife is 45. She's a cheetah. She's still somebody who people would like to come after, and they like, but she's fat.
Am I a cheetah?
I think you're a cheetah.
Because I'm 47 and I don't look 47.
You're a cheetah. Like, people are still chasing you, but when you get to a cougar status, you're a good looking older woman, but you've thrown it all out, and you now are on the attack.
Oh, maybe I've been a cougar all my life then. That just means you're on attack?
Yeah, you're on the attack. Like, you're like cougars, like women over 50
will jump you and not
that they want to fuck. You know what I mean? They're at that point in their life. Like,
right.
You know what? I don't care who thinks I'm a fucking hoe. I'm out of town on a girl's trip. And do you want to fuck? You know?
Right.
And you're like,
because we ain't got no time.
Like, easy.
Right.
Whoa, aggressive cougar. Where a cheetah would not be like that.
Be like, oh my God, that woman is just gorgeous.
Well,
but she's not going to give up so easy.
Right. These 50-year-olds.
Cheetahs.
50-year-olds,
yeah.
Total
hoes. Cheetah runs away. They're fast.
Well, I don't know what's going to happen to me because I got 3 more years before I'm 50.
Yeah, but I think you can, look, you can keep that cheetah phase as long as you can, but there is that point where people are like, I'm a cougar now. And
yeah.
I'm going to start fucking hunting.
I don't know. When I go hunting,
go ahead.
I'm not thinking about labels. I'm just
you're hunting.
You're just fucking like,
right. You come here.
Yeah, my friend used to say, like, you search around and you just sink your talons into their back, their shoulders, and just bite them on the neck and take them down.
Well, I like my men, you know, no matter how old they are, or sort of what shape they are.
Sure.
One, he's got to be intelligent. I'm not even going to be attracted. I'm a sapiosexual, sure. Right? I'm attracted to your brain. If your brain's pretty,
agreed.
I'm hot for you.
That's pretty much across the board. Stupid people are not very attractive.
Not very attractive.
Even if they are attractive.
And if he's wearing a girdle, and I don't mind if a guy dyes his beard. You know, women get dragged for making ourselves up, and some of us do go overboard with the makeup, but men are doing things too. They're
of
wearing
course.
Girdles, they're...
Yeah, they're doing that beard.
Dying their beard.
So most women, I feel like silver is like, if I grow my beard, you see I have some like kind of gray hair.
Yeah.
But if I grow my beard out, it's silver.
It's sexy. It's
but a lot of women like that.
Distinguishing
of
dye, for a man.
It gives you some age.
Yeah. It's not that I'm turned off by men that dye their beards, but it's like I'd rather him be more authentic.
Right.
Because the
or he's trying to look younger.
He's trying to
look
younger. Right.
Whereas you're admitting you're a little older, and that's sexy to me.
I mean, we are okay with older. To us, that means you're distinguished, you're mature, probably have your shit together. I think in LA, a lot of these guys are trying to look younger because they're trying to act in certain roles
or
trying to be creative.
Or that
so I understand
older.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why you see a lot of older couples. In LA, or older men with younger women,
yeah,
because it takes so long for a man here to mature and get established where he's even thinking about having a relationship or can even attract a certain type of woman. Because, like we've talked about this before, most of these guys, if you're riding a skateboard and living in a little apartment, no offense to those guys that like. You know, 45, 50 years old.
You better dye your beard gray.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's hard to attract
so,
a woman.
Right. Like, no thanks.
Because women also, we talk about, are attracted by motivation. And I think you maybe said this, or somebody did about inspiring. If you inspire someone or to be better than what they are, that's sexy, or you believe in somebody and what they're doing. And you try to help them get there, get better.
Yeah.
That is sexy to a woman that I believe in you.
In most situations, if someone is inspiring you, it means that they are doing something, have acquired something, or are acquiring something that you respect and that you admire.
Right.
So you're not going to have a dude on a skateboard, you know, I doubt that a guy on a skateboard is going to do much inspiring in my life.
Yeah, maybe not. Yeah.
If you compare.
Right.
Yeah.
And so those are material things.
Give me somebody over 50 who's
right.
created some kind of legacy or is creating a legacy. Because that's sexy.
Yeah, and I've seen women, a perfect example. You can see women are so beautiful, but you're like, hey, you guys want to hang out? Like, no, I'm tired. I'm going to go. But then someone's like, sure, let's do a shot of tequila, or let's turn on some music, or you guys want to, what do you want to do next? You know, women and men, like when it gets late at night, men are always trying to just get women drunk, talk them into staying up late, so we can hook up, right? That's okay. The goal of the evening is to hook up.
Okay.
But women most times are always the first say, oh, I'm so tired. I shouldn't drink anymore. You know what I mean?
How many times, or at least in my experience,
and that's why I love my wife so much, is because she's the type like, sure, what do you want to do? Yeah, she's the one,
like I said, out drinking me, where I'm like, all right, can we go home at 5 a.m.?
Well, it sounds like you guys are into each other.
Well, we are, but I mean, women in general, and I know this, I hate to generalize, but they shut down the fun most times.
I think when they're shutting down the fun, they just are at a crossroad with that person.
Well, yeah, they're like, we're not going to fuck.
I don't feel like touching you.
Right, but where men are always like,
they're always ready.
Like, that is the goal of every man when we go out, is to fuck.
Let me tell you something. If it's that much of a challenge to get your woman to fuck you, then you're having a problem. Because every woman that I know, I would say everyone, a lot of women, most women, if I'm into a guy and I'm alone with him,
right,
I want to touch him.
But I'm not talking about it. I'm saying like a woman you meet, like
someone,
or just most times, like say it's a few guys hanging out, a few girls, we're back doing karaoke.
Oh, I see. Yeah, no, time to go.
Guys will always hang in there till the bitter end.
Yeah, it's the girl that has to go, all right, party's over.
Yes, it's always like,
I don't want to get so drunk that I'm sucking everybody's dick tonight. Exactly. I mean, a girl's got to have some boundaries.
Exactly, but I mean, and I think that probably is the reason, because women know, like, okay,
you guys are on the prowl.
That's what guys want. I mean, they suck dick, fuck, or I need to get out of here.
Right. So I think that's our job.
Before, if you're going late night back to somebody's hotel, back to somebody's apartment, just know, men are hoping, or at least thinking, that you're...
Well, that's what men hope and think about every time they have a conversation with a woman.
Yeah, yeah, or no, every time we're just living. I mean, they say
no, no, no. Oh, living, like, even when you're not in... Cambridge University did a study where they took roughly 50 men and 50 women, and they basically put monitors, you know, on their scalps sensors on their skin to monitor their brain functionality. And they set these couples up, a guy and a girl, which show up to sort of a makeshift water cooler, similar to something you might find at work.
Mm-hmm.
And start a conversation. Those were the instructions. So literally 100% of the women, when it was like, hey, good morning, Fred, and the conversation started, all the women, just all their verbal centers, a few of their emotional centers lit up, and it was just, you know, a conversation at work. But 100% of the men, all the sexual centers were just like, is this going to be sex?
Right.
Maybe she's going to suck my dick. Maybe I could get some sex tonight from her. Right. I wonder if she's going to let me touch her titties.
Right.
Like, this is how men think.
It is.
Period.
I mean, really, period. Even,
they can't help it. It's not like you have voluntary control over that.
Like I told you last episode, when a man sees a beautiful woman walk by in some yoga pants, great ass, most men you always see turn around. There's just different
look
levels
at it.
Of disrespectful men are like just gawking, you know, some men don't care.
Right.
But there is something that it's just you can't control. It's just where, like,
yeah, there's a biological component to that. Well, and so I think that would make sense.
That's attraction, you know what I mean?
Right.
That's something you can't explain, just that physical attraction to whatever you're attracted to is why, I don't know, why we're all here.
It's creation, or God's way of ensuring procreation.
There you go. Right? Yeah, it really is.
Because if it was on us women to procreate,
it wouldn't
things
happen.
Would be scarce.
Yeah, they would, because
we'd be in a bad mood or whatever.
Right. And imagine if men could have babies. You know what I mean?
I wonder how much they'd be wanting to.
How big would the population be if men had babies?
Oh my God.
And could fuck each other and get babies? I mean,
they would all die. You all would die in childbirth.
A lot of dead babies.
You would be dead.
All over the place. A lot of abortion clinics. Like, there'd be more abortion clinics than McDonald's.
Right.
You know, they'd drive through abortion clinics with a beer.
if men had to deliver babies, you know, because they wouldn't do it.
That's the hardest thing I ever had to do in my life.
Deliver a baby.
Deliver a baby. Yeah, I
mean, no, men don't have a story that compares to
a woman.
It's like, if a man had to have his dick ripped open.
Jesus Christ.
Volleyball.
No, are you kidding me? By the time, like, my first pregnancy, my first kiddo, when she came, I was 2.5 hours labor. There's some, well, no, I was 12 hours labor, but when it was time to push, it was 2.5 hours of pushing. Normally, it's like 15 to 20 minutes, maybe 30 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
And by the time it was after that end of that 2.5 hours, I was like, Doc, I don't give a fuck if you got to cut my leg off.
Right.
Do what you got to do.
Get that fucking baby out.
Get that fucking thing out of me. You know, and so, right. It's so a horrendous experience.
Yeah.
So you have part of it. He started to.
Like, no, I don't have to cut the leg off.
Just
take part of it. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. It was,
most men couldn't even fathom the pain. And then, like, my wife has done it 3 times.
I know.
It's crazy.
It's hard. It's really,
it's
incredibly.
There's a reason we're built differently.
Yeah. It's so hard. And you're thinking while you're in it, you're thinking, oh, why the fuck did I do this?
Right.
This is a horrible decision.
Right.
And then when it's done and you look into the eyes of your baby, you do it all.
Right.
Yeah. That's the Lord
nuts.
Right there. Yeah.
It's really nuts.
Actually, it's a vagina.
Yeah.
Not nuts. Nuts don't do much. So, fakeness, I think.
Yeah, we like.
There's nothing better than natural. Natural
authenticity. Yeah, and I don't want to knock people. Like, you know, I might have fake breasts and I'm wearing this wig right now, so I don't want to be a hypocrite.
No, you're not. And also, too, if some people aren't born with that, so whatever it takes you to get to that, and the important part is that you attract somebody who loves you, not attract to somebody who's attracted to.
Your weave,
or this, or your surgery, or
right.
your ultra fat ass. Like they, like you said, they have to be attracted to you.
Yeah. Well, and then the pressure. I mean, I think women do that.
Yeah, men
primarily because pressure. Yeah,
we have financial pressure.
Yeah, you have a different kind of pressure. We're pressured to look good, and you know, if a woman's face or complexion or hair doesn't look like the contemporary sort of picture beauty as we
right.
you know, consume it on social media and television and so forth and film, then there's this pressure, right? People getting their noses thin.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, the Kardashians, like we said, are the best example, I think, of what a modern women think is ultimate beauty is the Kardashians.
Which
is crazy because if you see them when they started,
they look nothing like themselves.
Yeah.
And then if you see them with none of their makeup on, they're just very... They're not striking.
Hmm.
There's nothing.
They're just kind of average.
Right.
And so you got these average looking bitches thinking that they can just go get the right kind of lashes and hair and look like
and
all these Instagram models and Kardashian and so forth.
And all the money they have. They get the best of the best surgery. The problem is you have these other imitating women who get these botch surgeries or they get their lips way too big and the injections. It looks like they just got stung by bees. And I'd much rather see someone with their natural lips than these catcher men.
If they're not ugly.
I mean, even so, if they're a beautiful woman and I can tell their fake lips, it's so unattractive.
It's unattractive, right? It's like a different layer, another layer of...
Dude, and it's right on your face.
Unattractiveness.
You might as well have a fake tattoo on your forehead that just... I'm just a fake ass.
Fake ass motherfucker.
Or would listen to, like, I've got some lips. So if you love your lips, congratulations. But just for me personally, when it's too much, it's just like, you look like a clown.
I can't believe the type of makeup, like the way that makeup has been
evolved.
Has evolved. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like, I saw a bitch rolling on makeup on her face, like a big old, like a, you know, Cool Whip.
Oh wow, or like spray paint.
It was like a big giant, like skin colored blob, and then she took a roller.
Yeah.
Like you would do the corners, the edges, and you're fucking
Or you'll see women who have
and rolling
skin.
It on.
And it ruins your skin though. Like you'll see women who have it's like this terrible cycle where they have bad skin and they cover
Hello, you're caking your face up every fucking day.
Right.
I don't know how women do that. Breathe. I really don't know how women do that.
Women who do it, you can always tell because their faces look so smooth with this whole coating of makeup.
And then you know that that's just cake done. Man. And then you take it off and look completely fucking different.
It smells like people that wear transition smells.
I don't want to knock anybody in case you're doing that.
I'm hating too much.
I know. We're just knocking everybody's.
Yeah, some lady sitting there like putting on all that fucking makeup.
She's like fuck these motherfuckers.
Fuck you, Sam. I'm going to wear this shit.
Yeah, but subtle makeup. I think that's the thing. Makeup started as an accent to beauty instead.
As opposed to inventing the actual beauty. People are trying to invent looks on their faces.
I don't think anybody actually thought to be like, oh, I would never wear something fake. That's not me. But now, because it's become so accepted.
Well, now, you know, that actually makes me think of something. Because back, you know, during like the 40s and the 50s,
sure,
it was a requirement that women had to wear makeup to go to work.
Mm.
You remember that?
Sure.
So there is a different pressure that we, so I get, you
women
know,
women have always had the pressure.
There's a healthy sort of median that you should find.
Right.
Right. I mean, I'm not saying I'm perfect, but I mean, I wear lashes and I wear my makeup, right. But I mean, I don't necessarily like to do it. And I certainly am not going to do that shit every day. Fuck that. I do it. Look, I schedule my comedy show and my podcast on Thursday. So I only have to put on makeup once.
Right. Right.
And also
not to say that I'm better, but that's just the kind of country gal that I am. I just don't have the energy. It's an energy thing for me. It's like, fuck all that.
Males have driven that culture of, for like you said, like wearing makeup to the office, wearing a skirt, like, hey, did you see what Sharon's wearing today?
Right.
The pressure to look sexy as a piece of meat for the men at the office, and that has led into the extreme of, oh, wow, they all look at, you know, Karen's lips. Well, I want her lips. Well, now you can have them. I wish I had her ass. Now you can have it. And it's this whole driven to the extreme that, okay, I'll be, it's destination happiness. I'll be happy once I get. And I think that's where it gets carried away. Like you said, you got some breasts and you're good.
I love them. I mean, doctor did a great job.
You're not getting your lips all done. You're lucky because that's kind of your only thing that you desired where a lot of women with the boat.
Yeah, my kids broke my titties, so I had to fix them. It wasn't even about size.
Some people have different titties that are just a lot, you know, they're not.
Yeah, apparently when I went to go get my implants, one was bigger than the other. I had no idea.
There you go. Learn something new.
Every day, so you had to put a couple more cc's in one than the other. But I was fixing a problem. I didn't care. I had small breasts before, and I didn't care. And I still think I do. I wear a C-cup now. But
that's like the perfect, you know, I think C-cup.
I just, again, I didn't care about size. I just had, I mean, my first daughter, she, you know, your breast will make as much breast milk as your kiddo eats.
Right, exactly.
And so she was so hungry and ate all the time. My breasts were just huge and engorged the entire time. And so when she stopped feeding, they shrunk.
Of course.
And when I tell you, it was as if it was like the California Gold Rush. And you know, like the panhandling, you know, and it's like the sediment just kind of like settled down to the bottom.
Yeah, they go from like a grape to a raisin.
Oh my god, yeah, I know. I used to have a joke. Samantha Raisin Tits Abrams used to be my little
old raisin tits.
Holy shit. And so the simple solution was then to not necessarily get them lifted up. I could have fixed them that way. That would have been more invasive and more expensive.
Right, exactly.
And so I had the implants put in as a simple solution.
I mean,
I'm very, very happy that I did that.
And look, I think that's,
holy
I
shit.
When you came back, you were very, I mean, I think that's good. I mean, that's something to make you feel better. I mean, it's like, I guess the equivalent of I could all of a sudden make it look like these perfect pecs in a six pack.
Right, you know, right. And wow, and it would be acceptable.
Man, this is really nice to look in the mirror at. And maybe you're like, wow, Liz is like, wow.
It's like men getting their hairlines back.
Of course. Yeah, I mean, of course, the hairline. You see me. I mean, I've got my kind of widow's peak, but it's every man is like just trying freaking. That's the worst. I'm so thankful I have my hair because that right there is age. Like if you're bald, and I was like, you know, if I was like this, I'm a totally different person. You know?
Right. Well, you know, the changing is like people. Well, did you do it for other people or did
but
you do it for you?
You know?
And I did it for me so that I could look better in front of other people.
Of course, I could see that. Now here's something. That would be hypocritical, I'll say. Now, if my hair was seriously thinning, and it does a little bit up here, and I was balding, I would definitely consider getting a hair transplant.
Right.
Because that, to me, my youth is everything to me. You know, I'm lucky. I got my mom's jeans, and I feel like I look young for my age, or I feel good about myself. But I know starting to look old for anybody is hard to look in the mirror and accept that. And your hair, for a man,
is the first place. So I could see him. I wasn't going to do anything fake. You know, because I had little calves, and everybody said chicken legs. Now I've been walking in the hills and running so much
that now I'm like have random guys be like, dude, you got really nice
calves. All these men who compliment me on my calves.
Because you guys are noticing it.
Yeah, guys, and I'm like, thanks. But someone's like,
dude, what do you do to get those like that? Like, what are you talking about?
I tell you what.
Because I have chicken legs. Everybody made fun of me.
How funny. You do not have chicken legs.
I know, but since I've been out in California,
walking the hills, we walk a lot, the steps, running. My calves have gotten stronger.
I got to tell you, there was a guy that I was considering seeing. I thought he was at the most handsome face, and he had these really broad, strong shoulders, and just had some girth to his upper body.
Girth, love that word.
And then I saw him one day in shorts.
Oh, right.
And he had these incredibly, like, ill-proportionate, tiny stick legs.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, you know.
It isn't. No, there's
and
some.
And I'm done.
Right.
No, my wife loves, like, soccer player's body.
You know, a lot of those guys, they've got strong legs and, you know, lean and all that. So, yeah.
I would never get calf implants,
but I was always so insecure about my calves because it's mainly Liz. You know, Liz has big, strong calves and she's like, you little chicken legs, you know, compared to her.
She's got a really athletic. I've never seen her wearing anything kind of revealing. So, yeah.
She was a gymnast.
Oh, really? Oh, really? What did she used to do?
I call her Thicky.
Yeah. What was she like, a flora routine kind of trick or uneven bars?
She was a soccer player, played in college. So she's a full-on athletic girl. And so her body is just, you know, she's there, you know, does Pilates like four times a week. So she's just always,
she still works
she's
out.
She's pushing her. Oh,
good for her.
She's a workout freak. She runs
really
four times a week.
And do you guys have exercise equipment in your home?
No, she doesn't do that. She goes to like a Pilates class, and then we run up and down our street. But yeah, she's a type that she has a body where she works out a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Like she has a six pack.
You know what I mean? Like she
you can tell right away.
Exactly.
Yeah, me too. Me and my that's what
you can tell right away.
Me,
right
away.
I can work out a bunch.
I still always have had this kind of little chubbiness about me, but you know.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've always been fairly thin. I did gain some weight on especially with my second child.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I have one of those bodies. Like, if you look at the fat women in back home, in my family,
okay. We're
very up top heavy.
Okay.
So if I ever did turn into a fat chick,
I'd
look like Winnie the Pooh on like little stick legs.
So like,
it goes right to my stomach and my arms and my cheeks. And I just blow up at the top.
Oh, weird. Well,
so fortunately,
no, as long as your ass gets fat, you know, you can. I mean, I think that's the thing. A lot of women don't realize is, you know, guys are a lot more lenient with some ass nowadays.
Some ass.
So let it go, ladies.
Yeah, well, I can't. I don't have much ass, so I got to make sure that, you know, everything else.
Get on them squats, Sam.
I know. Yeah. I did. I've done it before, but it's hard.
Yeah. I mean, but
it's hard to be consistent.
Squats.
I need a personal trainer kicking my ass.
Right.
Well, that's why I like say
Liz goes to the classes. So you're.
Oh, because you're accountable.
Body for a month. I need to sign back.
See, you quit.
I know.
But that's
what she's so good. She is like so dedicated to working out.
Yeah, that's hard.
But I need to get back on Pilates because, yeah, I was doing that like twice a week. And that right away, like I've said, you're in there, a bunch of beautiful women. But also, you can feel your core. You know what I mean? Like, everything feels tight.
Well, you know what I do for exercise? I do the organizing.
Oh,
That's really
so
hard work.
Squatting.
Right, I'm always sort of
the
moving.
The ordering exercise.
So that's why I stopped. That started getting busy, and so I stopped. I fired my personal trainer, but stopped going. I feel like we are.
No, this was a beautiful show, Sam. We really touched on a lot again.
Yeah. Not a whole lot of sex stuff. We were
talking about I don't think
attraction.
And
authenticity.
Right. It doesn't have to be always, you know, straight up porno talk.
Right. Although that's all great fun.
That's great fun and all, yes. But sometimes we have to talk about what is behind the attraction.
So if you're out, right? Say hypothetically you weren't married and you're out and you see this chick and she looks so good to you, right?
Yeah, okay.
Right? And then you guys have a few drinks and then, you know, you guys go out to the park and then...
Wait, the park?
In the park.
Wait, you're trying to get me arrested?
After dark. And then,
the park after dark, okay.
And then, like, you reach up and grab her hair and it, like, it goes... It shifts. Right? Is that a turn
off? Is that
off?
The only thing that's fake?
No, there's more fake stuff. She looks great, but
okay,
there's more.
What else is fake?
Maybe you're wondering if her tits are fake. That's grab her, but see, my breasts feel not natural.
Right?
No, I
can't tell.
If you're giving me the hypothetical, I'm single. I'm in a dark park.
You're gonna go for it.
Doesn't sound very comfortable. Yeah, the wig is not stopping me. Okay. The wig is not gonna stop you because if the body's there and she's like beautiful, you're not like, okay,
right,
whatever. Her wig came a little loose.
Right.
Who cares?
Right. But if she tells you, even though her
if
breath
she, like,
and ass
smells
feel
and, like, a lot of makeup and feels like she's trying to cover up some
kind
weird
of
smell. Like,
fake has a smell.
Yeah, I'm very keen to pheromones. Mm-hmm. And women who have too much I don't like perfume. Really,
huh. I
like a woman in her natural scent. I really don't like perfume at all.
Huh.
Like Liz, I don't think ever, maybe sometimes a little something, but
when I
rarely,
go out,
like,
yeah. I have a day perfume, and then if I go somewhere fancy,
sure,
I have that, you know,
sure,
my Coco Chanel.
I don't like if you ever walk past a woman and they're just their whole fucking, it's like walking into the mall
really?
In the makeup department, and they're like, ugh.
I think some men are really turned on by the perfume smell.
Obviously, a little too much. But I just think it feels like, again, it's an extension of what are you covering up?
Like nothing. I'm not covering up anything after I take my shower.
But like a woman, like after you take a shower.
After I take my shower, I spray my perfume on.
Put your lotions on and stuff. Like that smell alone is great. You know what I mean?
I got to put my Coco Chanel on.
Yeah, I'm saying I'm not downing.
But I'm not covering anything.
Who's got like so much cologne? You're like, dude.
It's more like we're trying to smell better than the next bit.
Sure, but I think sometimes it can be too much.
Too much.
Just like, and then it rubs off on you, and you're like, God, I gave some random woman a hug, and now I smell
like
I
yeah,
just
that's
went to
just
a
too much.
Club. Yeah,
she shouldn't have it all over her clothing.
Right. Yeah. And
now, if it's all over her clothing, maybe she's trying to cover something.
Yeah, but I think it goes back
just
to the
be a little bit
makeup type.
Yeah, too much makeup, too much perfume.
I mean, if it takes you, more than an hour to get ready, or it's just, I think you're doing too much. No. I mean, and sometimes, you know, like, mom, she takes her, like, half hour to dry her hair, but then she's good to go.
Right.
She doesn't do much makeup, really. But
yeah, I don't do a whole lot of makeup. I'll throw some lashes on and eyeliner, and then kind of pretty much done.
You know?
Throw on a wiggy. Or just, brush my hair up.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, but you know, I feel fortunate that I feel fortunate that I think I have some good genes and
you got good genes.
Yeah, I don't really have to try that hard to stay in shape. So I know that everybody doesn't have that same ease.
That's very lucky.
Yeah, I realize.
What about your book, Sam?
Hey, yeah, I wrote a book. If you want to support this podcast. And if you want to laugh and learn, I wrote a very hilarious and yet academic book called The Complete Player, which you can find on Amazon. You can get the ebook or the paperback. The Complete Player is a neurological description, that is brain science, of the love game between the player and his mark. And again, even though we are the book is titled about players, it really does give you a comprehensive look into the dynamics between males and females and how our brains work when we process sex, love, lust, addiction, and heartbreak. And so again, it's hilarious, even though it doesn't look very funny, it is. And so you'll learn something and laugh along the way. And Samson, what do you got to promote?
Oh gosh, Sam, what do I have to promote? You know, I have my stand-up special. That I have at slicecomedy.com. Let me throw this up real quick right here. So that's my stand-up special.
Yeah.
That I'm going to have being released this summer. So I'm excited about that. I also am going to be producing other comedian stand-up specials very soon. So I'm excited about that as well. And I don't know.
We're going to be working on upgrading your
studio. Which I'm very excited. My
Slice
Comedy studio.
That's right.
We're going to do a similar setup to kind of what you have here. But I'm very excited to kind of open up a podcast studio.
Yeah, be commissioning out that space for others that can easily want to start their own podcast.
Right.
You've invested some money into some equipment, and so that's very exciting.
Yeah, you gotta, you know, I'm doing this kind of jumping off the branch again. It's like so many times in your career, like, okay, I gotta, jump off into the deep end again and swim. So
there we are.
That's what we're doing. And, you know, like we were talking about, it's the beautiful struggle. How people say, I guess this is the best part of it.
which it doesn't always feel like it because
money depression, you know what I mean? Very real.
Well, I tell you, last week we were talking about money depression, and I'm over it now. I'm totally happy because I am going.
I got some dough.
Well, it's coming. I'm going to go and do a big job. I commissioned this Sunday. We're going to go fix a hoarding situation. Nice. So I'm going to be absolutely tired by the end of Sunday evening.
Sure,
but my bank account is going to be a lot.
It feels great when you know healthier. You got money. Excuse me, coming in.
Yeah.
It really, it just, you know, money.
It feels good, not only because you're solving your problems, but also because you look turn around and go, you know what? I built this
thing. You built this. And it's, you know, it gets back to Thomas the Train. We just all want to feel useful, you know?
Like, yes. Sir Topham Hatt looks like, you're a very useful engine.
And right. That's all any of us want to feel. That's right. Useful. So when we get paid, we're like, good, I'm useful. I'm paying my bills. I'm paying this. And hey, I can afford to take my family out to dinner. I'm being useful.
That's right. I feel like a useful little engine.
And unfortunately, it's what money does. It's the equivalent of, okay, we get this and now we can get that. So.
Hey, well, this has been an interesting discussion about authenticity. What is sexy and what is not. A little tad about money and being useful on the earth. And we appreciate you guys tuning in. You guys, go to Amazon and search my name, Samantha Abrams, pick up my book, and go to slicecomedy.com and check out what Samson Crouppen is doing. He's my producer. This has been another case of the King Abrams.
Straight up, I'm serious. They end up in class.